All right, Romans chapter 12, please, in your Bibles. Romans chapter 12. And it's two very familiar verses that many of you probably have memorized. This is going to be a springboard into the message. Tonight's message is going to be, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's just going to be a topical message that I think we need in our lives. My favorite kind of preaching is expository preaching. And that is what I like to do, just exposing what the Word of God is saying textually and things like that, like we did this morning in the story, just getting the main idea of the text. And but tonight, I just felt like the Lord would lead in this direction. And we're going to use Romans chapter 12, just kind of be a platform, kind of a springboard into the message tonight. Again, thank you for being faithful to God's house tonight. And thank you for being faithful throughout the day today. If you found Romans 12, if you'd stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to, Romans chapter 12. And if you'll just read verses 1 and 2 out loud with me, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Talk about Spirit-filled life tonight. Spirit-filled life. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we need you. And I ask, Lord, that you'd help us to be used of you this evening. Again, you know the needs tonight, and this is your word. I pray you'd guide me, that you would direct me. I'm thankful for how you've worked in the preparation of this. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help me to rely on you as I preach your word and help us to open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us. Thank you for every single person that's here, Lord, and for their service in this church and their willingness to be used of you. So, Lord, I pray that you just be pleased and glorified and honored through everything said and done. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Watching my boys last week or so, and watching them do things, play, whether it was, you know, at the teen event or whether it was out there. We had this little pool out there in the backyard. You haven't noticed over there at the parsonage, and just, you know, having fun there, whether it's in the house, whatever. I find that we have this innate desire to control our own lives, you know. Hey, boys, you're done swimming. It's time to come inside. How come? You know. Or, hey, boys, it's time to go to bed. But, Dad, you know, I didn't get to stay up late. Actually, you're up an hour later than you normally are. You just don't read the clock, you know. You know, it's this desire, and you find it in from the youngest age, and maybe we don't necessarily sound like that as adults. I think some do. but we still have this desire and this response when things don't go our way to want to control our own lives. We want to be in charge. We want to control things. My wife was helping me. I repaired this fence out here that we took down. We took that tree down with Tim, and I finally got out there and started putting the fence back together, if you haven't noticed. And Brother Tim helped me with that tree out there, but that was almost 2 years ago. And finally the fence is back up, and I'm almost done with it, but I had some tools out there, and I had this reciprocating saw, the Sawzall out there, and my wife, and I think Autumn was helping me clean up kind of the stuff before the day was over. And my wife picked up this this reciprocating saw, and she turned around and she goes, you know, power, you know, woman power, you know. I remember there was we were at Walmart, and this was back when, before Walmart really, here it's not too bad, but there's a lot of places where states or areas where Walmart just, they don't even sell guns. I mean, you might find some ammunition, things like that, but there was a AR-15. It was a pink one. Remember this? There was a pink AR-15 at Walmart. I mean, and I was looking at guns, and my wife was standing there with me, and I said, Let me see that one. It was a pink one. Let me see that one right there. And my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, here, hold this thing. And she grabbed it, and she's like, yeah, you know, and I took a picture of it, and I still got that, just this power feeling, you know. And but really, seriously, in our lives, we like, when you're not saying it out loud, but we have this tendency to like to have the power. We like to have control of what's going on in our lives. And it goes against our nature to have someone or something controlling our lives. 2010 article. This is a 2010. So this is some time ago. From PC World described how computer hackers can control the computerized systems of a car from a remote location. They can disable the brakes. They can blast hot air through the vents or music through the radio. Shut down the engine. Of course, the vehicle has to be equipped for these things, and they are a lot more equipped now than they used to be for it. There's a lot more of these since 2010 than there were in 2010. They can shut down the engine. They can lock the passengers inside all while the vehicle is in operation. And there's a something unnatural that about a computer in our car controlling our driving. You know, we got this driverless vehicles. What are you thinking? I mean, what? Let's just push a button and just let the car. No, I don't think so. I can't handle my wife driving, let alone a computer. There is one, however, who wants complete control of our lives, and that's the Holy Spirit. He wants complete control of your life. And allowing him to control your life is one of the best decisions that you'll ever make. When D.L. Moody was just starting the ministry, he heard a preacher make this statement. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him. D.L. Moody is known for saying that on his deathbed. But when he was a young preacher, he heard a preacher say that. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him. And that night, D.L. Moody said, by God's grace, I'll be that man. Think about it. If you're fully surrendered to God's control in your life, what could God do with you? Fully and completely surrendered to him working in your life. What could God accomplish with somebody, a man or woman or a teenager, young man, young woman, or even a child? What can God do with anybody who's fully surrendered to him? It's beyond our imagination, and the potential that we can see it's beyond that as well. And it's said that Moody shook two continents for God. Over a million souls came to Christ under his preaching. I'm just going to be honest, whether all those details are true or not, I want to have that kind of heart. I want to give the Holy Spirit absolute preeminence in my life. I want him to have control. I do. I hope you do too. And he deserves it. Amen. He deserves full control. He's literally God in you. How many are saved tonight? Say amen. You know you're saved. He is literally God in you. Think about that. The God who orchestrates the sun, moon, and stars. He had Peter walk on water. He spoke the world into existence. Said there be light, and there was light. He is in you. And he wants to have full control of your life. You belong to him. You're his vessel. You're his messenger. You're his ambassador. And it is reasonable. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it is reasonable, Christianity, that you would surrender your complete control to him. It is your reasonable service, the verses we started out with. It is your reasonable service that you would be yielded to him. It just makes sense. It's not something where you pat yourself on the back and say, look at me, I've been used of God. No, it's a no-brainer. He's saying, I beseech you, I'm pleading with you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just, how can you pressure me so much, pastor, or whoever else you're complaining to? How can you put so much pressure on me to be faithful to God? Because it's just your reasonable service. It just makes sense. It's not me. It's God doing so. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he'll bring transformation in your life if you do that. Do you need God to transform some things in your life? Surrender to him. He'll bring transformation in your life. He'll bring power in your life that you would never know otherwise. He'll lead you into a life full and abundant. And he has plans, and he has purpose for you. So at the end of this message, I believe this is the direction that God has led. It's my goal that we are faced with a decision regarding the Holy Spirit. I know those verses don't directly talk about the Holy Spirit, but God having control of our lives, you'll see the connection there here in a little bit. But you'll be faced with a decision, I believe, at the end of this message, even now, regarding the Holy Spirit. And the question is this: will you neglect him, ignore him, or will you be filled with him? Knowing about the Holy Spirit is quite different from experiencing him at work in your life. I'm not talking about some weird, feely-good stuff that the world has got messed up about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, the second or the third person of the Godhead. So, again, I mentioned it's going to be just kind of topical tonight. So I'm going to have you use your Bibles this evening. And so go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible gives us at least three, but really these three are prominent. They stick out in the Word of God. Three responses that we ought to have in regard to the Holy Spirit in our lives. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, there's a command here. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The being filled with the Spirit, what does that mean, preacher, when it says be filled with the Spirit? Being filled with the Spirit is the act of emptying myself of known sin and yielding myself completely to the Holy Spirit. It's the act of emptying myself of known sin and yielding myself completely to the Holy Spirit. It is an act of the will. It is an act of surrender in prayer. It's not sensational. It doesn't provide a feeling of exhilarating experience. I've got the Holy Spirit coming through my heart and my soul, through my hand. No, that's not what it is. That's not what it's talking about. It is a decision of faith just to simply control, to yield myself to his control. That's what it is. You see it in the scripture, maybe sometimes as dying to self. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I yet live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Listen to this verse right here, Romans 6:16. This is just like, this is just like, oh, ding, 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 ding. You know, the light bulb clicks on here. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Listen, whatever you yield yourself to, that's who you're a servant of. Whatever you're giving yourself to. And these passages that I just read teach us that we've got to constantly choose who to yield to. We live every day, either, here's your choices, in the service of the flesh or in control of the Spirit. Most Christians do not willfully choose to walk in the flesh, but they arrive there by default because they fail to deliberately walk in the Spirit. Here's your choice. Walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. And we wouldn't just openly say, you know what? I'm going to live in the flesh today. But by not choosing to live in the Spirit, by His control, we have then decided, and we have naturally just gravitated towards the flesh. That's what ends up happening. In the valley, somebody said, in the valley of indecision, there is no neutrality. So you might say, you know what? Well, I don't want to live like them. I don't want to live in the flesh. I don't want to live like the world. I don't want to do those sayings. I don't want to be involved in those wicked sins. I don't want to go that way. Well, great, that's fine. But if you don't deliberately choose to do what's right, or deliberately choose to spend time with God, deliberately choose to read the Word of God, or deliberately choose to pray, if I don't deliberately choose those things, then I'm just kind of complacent and stagnant, and I'm going to end up going with the current, going with the flow. Have you ever tried to fight a river upstream or a creek? You can do it if it's not too strong, if it's not too difficult. But just relax, lay back, and see what happens with the how the current affects you. If you don't fight upstream, you end up going downstream, right? And that's a simple thought, but that's what happens if we don't deliberately choose what's right. Let me explain it this way. This cup right here, it's not quite half full. I drank some of it. There was a little more in there. But there's water up to this line. But from here to here, there's air. Okay? Now, if I ask the question, how do I get the air out of the cup? You could come up with some different ideas. You know, let's say the cup was empty. How do I get the air out of the cup? You can't just cover it up because there's still air in there. Okay? You can't take a vacuum and you say, well, we'll create a vacuum. You know, in science, you study that. You create a vacuum and literally pull the air out, and it's just void of any molecules and air molecules, things like that. But no, you can't do that. If you create a vacuum, it literally implodes, and you can't do that. How do I get the air out of the cup? The only way to get the air out of the cup is to add water to it and fill it completely up to the top. Are you with me? Because then it's filled with water. Okay. Then it's filled up with something else besides air. And as we empty ourselves of known sin in our lives and we yield to the Holy Spirit, He will fill us completely. And when we're filled with Him, then He is able to have complete control of our lives. The victorious Christian life is attained when the Holy Spirit has the whole picture, the whole vessel in which to dwell, and not just part of it. Are you with me? The water representing the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give us victory. The Christian has victory in their lives when the Holy Spirit has completely filled up the vessel. And He has the whole vessel in which He is able to dwell, and not just a part of it. And we have to evaluate in our lives, are we giving Him a part of our lives, or are we yielding all of our lives to Him? And many Christians think of being filled with the Spirit as some mystical or complicated process. And even right now, you might seem like you might be complicating it. It's really not complicated. In reality, it is a simple daily decision. It's a matter of choice. Being filled with the Spirit is a daily decision. In other words, let me help you out here. Begin each day by consciously and verbally yielding to Him. Say, how do I do that? Consider beginning each day with prayer. Holy Spirit of God in heaven, thank You Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being my comfort and guide today. As best as I know how, I yield to you. As best as I know how, I'm giving you my life. I want you to have complete control of my life today. I want you to use me today. God, I'm going to go to work and it's going to be hard. There's going to be wrong influences. I'm going to be tempted to be frustrated. Lord, I need you to fill me up today. God, I'm going to go to school. I know it's summer right now, but teens, I'm going to go to school and I'm a Christian. And it's hard to live the Christian life at school. It's hard to stand up and do what's right at school. It's hard to be a light in such a dark place. But God, I need you to fill me today. I need your help today. You begin each day yielding to him. It's a daily choice. Yesterday doesn't matter at this point. You might have had victory yesterday. You might have been defeated yesterday. But you've got to begin each and every single day yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, choosing daily to acknowledge him and surrender to him. And with every day that you consciously yield to him, see, what happens is you're growing. You're transformed. Day by day, you may not feel like you're growing. Day by day, you may not feel like you've made any progress. You may not feel like you've gotten anywhere. But year by year, as you look back, if you've yielded to God every single day, if every day you have said, God, I'm going to yield. You might have had some setbacks, and you might have failed sometimes. But Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you, right? And so you've taken a step for the Lord, and today you want to serve him, and then the next day you want to serve. And as you look back, you can see then how far you've come. There's a picture of our family. We're standing right over here. This is before we had the monitors up on the wall, and we're standing right here. It was our first or second week as a family here at Northwest Baptist Church. I think Miss Sammy Davis took the picture. And Levi he's shorter than my wife in that. Do me a favor here real quick. Stand up, Levi, please. Stand up and, babe, come here. All right, come here. In the picture, Levi, this is almost 4 years ago. Levi's shorter than my wife. In fact, he's like about right here. 4 years ago. Now, he probably doesn't feel like he's grown that much. He's shorter. In that picture, he's shorter than Chloe. Chloe's short. She's short. I love my daughter, but man, she's short. The only one he's taller than in the picture is Josiah. And in the picture, I'm holding Josiah, you know. But you don't feel like you've grown. But when you're able to chart that progress, or you remember standing against the wall and you've got the lines, the growth chart of years with your kids or maybe yourself or whatever, you look back and you see how much you've grown. And when you yield yourself to God, each and every single day, it's a struggle, isn't it? The Christian life is a struggle, right? Are you with me this morning? And you got to yield to you're tired of the flesh winning. You're tired of Satan getting a victory. You're tired of giving into the anger again, that attitude. You're tired of falling back to that sin. And it just seems like the flesh keeps winning, and day after day after day after day. But each day, you've got to begin your day saying, God, I yield to you. I give my life to you. I want you to have full control of me today. I empty myself of my sin in my life, and I'm just, I want you to fill me up. It's not about how much of the Holy Spirit you can get. If you're saved, you've got all of him. It's about how much of you the Holy Spirit gets. And when you yield to him, then you look back. And I know it doesn't feel like you've grown. But how many of you can look back and say this? Let's just be honest for a second. A little transparent if you're willing to be. How many can say you don't talk like you used to? Anybody? How many can say, I care more about the Bible than I used to. I care more about souls than I used to. Yeah. We could go on and on. You may not feel like you've grown, but you've grown. You've made progress. And he wants you to continue to grow and make progress, but it's a daily decision to yield yourself to him on a daily basis. The Christian life is not a marathon, or the Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint. His work is intended to take a lifetime. And the filling of the Spirit is not a feeling. The filling of the Spirit is not a feeling. It's not this emotionalism. It's a faith decision. See, you ask for it, you yield, you accept by faith. Go to Luke 11, please, 11:13. Drinking some more water out of this cup, so there's a little more air in it now. Luke 11, verse 13 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask you?" Now, it's not talking about you don't have the Holy Spirit and then you get him. It's not saying once you're saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your heart. We're talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Guaranteed, a day lived with the filling of the Holy Spirit is dramatically different from one lived without. Right? A day lived, controlled by the Holy Spirit, is going to be a completely different day than a day lived without. Might not feel all that different throughout your day, but you'll know by the day's end that God worked, that God guided your steps, that He filtered your thinking, that He directed your words, that He ordered your life. And it's a totally different day than looking back on your day when you go to bed and you lay down finally and you just feel guilty and miserable because you know you didn't please God today because you could have cared less about how God directed your day. But when you live a day yielded to His guidance and direction in your life, it makes a totally different day. Ephesians 4:30, turn there please, Ephesians 4:30. And by the way, this isn't a one-time event. I said it earlier. It's something that's a moment-by-moment lifestyle. It's a day-by-day thing. You've got to daily do this. And as I already said, the Holy Spirit of God, well, He can be quenched. He can be grieved. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Quench not the Spirit." You can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. In Ephesians 4:30, look at that. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." The moment I step out of His control, the moment I step away from the Lord, that's the moment that I should confess Him and ask Him to fill me once again. This is a repeated process. David, when he messed up, he said in Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right," what? "Spirit within me." Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not getting more and more of the Spirit, but the Spirit getting more and more of you. F.B. Meyer said this, "Do not pray for more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity and is not in pieces." Do you hear that? Do not pray for more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity and is not in pieces. He goes on, "Every child of God has all of Him. But does He have all of you?" The filling of the Spirit is constant pursuit of the Christian life. Living in this perpetual state of total surrender and submission. It's a daily discipline. It's somebody who has a heart after God. So a man after God's own heart, the Bible says about David. Yeah, but David, I mean, he committed murder and he committed adultery. Yeah, but he's a man after God's own heart. When he stepped out of the Holy Spirit's control, the man of God came, pointed his finger at him and said, "Thou art the man." What did David do? He fell on his knees before God and he got things right with God. Somebody said this. This is Betty Scott Stamm. She was a missionary to China in the early 1900s. She was martyred with her husband by communist Chinese soldiers. She said this, "Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes." Can that be your heart? "All my own desires and hopes, and accept Thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all utterly to Thee, to be Thine forever. Fill me and seal me with Thy Holy Spirit. Use me as Thou wilt. Send me where Thou wilt. Work out Thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever." Do you want God to use you completely? Do you want your entire life to be surrendered to Him? Is that what you want in your life? There's a song, "My life, Lord, is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul." Is that your heart? Is that your desire? To give your life to Him. Completely surrender to Him. Yeah, but I've got all these plans, and I've got this job, and my kids are here and here and here, and I've got all these things. I've got to get all my ducks in a row. Give your life, give all of those things to God and say, "God, I want to yield my life to you and have you control my life." So the first response that is very clear in regards to the Holy Spirit is simply this. I've been saying it over and over again. Be filled with the Spirit. The second one is this: walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We talked about the daily decision. And again, it's a daily decision to be filled with the Spirit. But there's something that, if you're filled with the Spirit, is going to produce a daily walk. It's going to produce a lifestyle that's led by the Spirit. Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16. Look at that, please. "This I say then," read this out loud with me, ready, begin. "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walking in the Spirit. You know what the word "walk" implies? It implies this: to march in step with, to fall into rank. It's not just talking about a lifestyle. That is one of the applications there, one of the definitions there. If you look up the word, that Greek word for walk, but it is implying this: to fall into step, to fall into order, to walk in, march in step, to fall into rank. It means this: to conform to the virtue of. When it says walk in the Spirit, it's not just saying this: do what's right. Figure it out. No, it is saying, get in line. Straighten up your life. You're out of order. You're out of step, soldier. Get back in line. And step when you're supposed to step, and do how you're led to do. The verse before, a few verses later, verse 25, Galatians 5:25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." If you say you're a Christian, act like it, in other words. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." It boils down to this. It boils down to your everyday choices. Think about it this way. When you begin your day asking the Holy Spirit to fill you, He will. Your choice then to yield control is a good choice. It's the right start. You begin today, "God, I yield my life to you." But as your day unfolds and circumstances come your way, you're going to be faced with a myriad of circumstances and situations and scenarios that you didn't know were going to happen. You're going to have emotions throughout your day you weren't expecting, thoughts, feelings, desires, decisions, possibilities, all sorts, right? Every single day, all of these things bombard us. Walking in the Spirit is listening to and obeying Him in all of that. Here's a word I don't use often. In the minutiae of your daily life. In all that mess, your emotions, the circumstances, the people you talk to, the scenarios, all these things, only God knows are coming. Walking in the Spirit is being sensitive to His leading in those areas of your life. "God, how do you want me to react here? God, help me to please you in this, what I'm about to say. Help me to please you in how I respond to this employer. Help me to please you in how I'm about to respond to my kids who are disobeying me. Help me to please you in how I'm going to respond to my friends who are tempting me." Did you know this? Did you know the Holy Spirit is interested in what you think about? How many believe that tonight? God's interested in what you think about. He's interested in how you dress. God's interested in what you listen to. God's interested in how you act. in who you spend time with. Okay, let's put it this way. In every possible situation, you've got to choose. If God's interested in all of those things, then I have a choice in all of those things. I can choose to please the flesh in those things, or I can choose to please the Spirit in those things. But every single one of those opportunities is a choice, and I'm going to make a choice, flesh or spirit. There's no in between, right? There's no in between. I've got to choose. God, what do you want me to do here? I want to be yielded to you. Don't just react. But yield to his leading. Listen to his prompting. Obey it. D.L. Moody said, a Christian who is not living in the power of the Spirit is living below his privileges. Every choice you make, you either choose to hear and obey the Spirit, or you choose what we call a carnal life, living in the flesh, choosing to please yourself. Say, so how do I do this? Well, there's one more command I think that is important to pull out of the scriptures tonight in response to the Holy Spirit. And that's number three. So we are being filled with the Spirit. And as a result, we need to walk in the Spirit. And then we need to pray in the Spirit. So go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You say, well, that would be like the natural outflow of walking. If I'm walking in the Spirit, then if I'm filled with the Spirit and walking with Him, then it's quite natural to talk with Him. The more I walk with Him, the more normal it becomes to talk with Him throughout the day. I want you to think about this for a second. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Three words there, pray without ceasing. How many of you ever take walks? How many of you walk? How many of you typically walk alone? Okay. How many of you typically, I'm not asking sometimes, typically you walk with somebody? Okay. How many sometimes walk with your spouse or somebody close to you? My hand's not up. We don't walk together. Are you kidding me? Yeah. That was coming next. Okay. How many of you walk with your daughter sometimes? Okay, there we go. I do like to walk with my wife, but not her kind of walking, because she walks with purpose, as in when she goes walking and she does the exercise thing, you know, she's like, you know. And then if I'm walking with her and she's trying to walk that fast, I'm like, I'm not doing that, you know. I don't want to do that. I just can't keep up with it. But then she's talking to me while she's doing that. So then, you know, the hand comes out. And then she's like, no, the hip, shit, you know, whatever. Anyways. Come here, babe. She hates me right now. This is the kind of walking I like to do with my wife. Yeah. I'm a smooth operator. I am. You know, and then, you know, I'll walk with her like this. And so if we're on vacation, you know, if we go to a beach and it's pretty secluded area and it's coming on to, I mean, it's dusk or dawn or whatever, and it's just beautiful. The sun, she loves sunsets, you know. We've had those occasions where we've done that, and that's the kind of walking I like to do with her. I like, you know, kick the shoes off right, and your toes are in the wet sand, just that edge of the ocean there, and that's the kind of walking that I like to do with you. I do. We hardly ever do it, but it's nice when we do. It is, and see, here's what ends up happening when I'm walking with her. You know what starts to happen? We start to talk. That's kind of the natural outflow of it. sometimes it's a little quiet, but typically we start talking. And we start talking personal, intimately. We start talking about our family. We start talking about the ministry. We start talking about, because we're taking time. We're not rushed. We're not in a hurry. We're not just trying to get through this. Like we do with God when we're reading the Word of God. I gotta get my duty done today. I gotta read the Word of God because I got a lot of things going on. So I quickly open my Bible and I just, all right, tell me what you got, God. You know? Like a husband and wife might be really short with each other because they got home from work and somebody's leaving, somebody's going, and these things happen. You get busy. I'm not faulting that, okay? But there's gotta be that closeness, that time, those opportunities just to truly fellowship. When you're walking in the Spirit, and if you're walking with closely, hand in hand, what ends up happening, because you're filled with the Spirit, you're consumed with Him. Remember, when we were getting to know each other, I was consumed with her. I mean, Bible college is trying to focus on graduating, and there's this lady just kind of getting in the way. No, it was God. God was working in all of that, but it's consumed. When you're consumed with God, you walk with Him, you end up talking with Him, and then you end up hearing from Him about what He loves and what He doesn't love and what He hates, and pretty soon that matters to you. And you no longer want to, you listening, teenagers? You no longer want to do those things that are satisfying to you because you care about what's satisfying to Him. You care about what pleases Him. You realize, you know what? I love God so much, I don't want to grieve Him anymore. It hurts Him when I do these things. It hurts Him when I act this way. It hurts God when I talk this way. This isn't about me, it's about Him. And I want to honor Him. It honors Him for me to be faithful to church. It honors Him for me to tell others about Christ, to go soul winning. It honors God for me to have a lifestyle that's pleasing to Him, to speak a certain way that honors Him. It honors God for me to dress a certain way. I don't want to do things that displease her. It hurts her, and then it hurts us. And that's what happens in your relationship with God. Yeah, but I want to listen to this kind of music. Yeah, but God doesn't. It doesn't please Him. Here's what pleases. I said this before. She doesn't like milk chocolate. Stop buying her milk chocolate. It's okay, but she's not in love with it. She wants that dark chocolate. She does. Am I right? Yeah. Say, that's a dumb illustration. No, it's not. It's a perfect illustration. Why would I buy her gobs and gobs of milk chocolate when she doesn't want it? But she wants that dark chocolate with sea salt and caramel. Yeah, see? I still struggle with that one. Why would you do things that displease God? Walk in the flesh. That's what we're talking about. To sum it up, walking in the flesh is just simply pleasing yourself. Walking in the Spirit is pleasing God. Which one are you doing? Thanks. Which one are you doing? And as I'm doing that, I'm walking with Him. I start talking with Him. Praying in the Spirit. You know what? That is our greatest weapon. That is our greatest spiritual exercise that you can do is pray. It's more than just a conversation. It's building, it's growing, it's battling, it's endeavoring. Go to Jude. There's one chapter in the book of Jude. So look at 20, verse 20. The book of Jude was written to Christians who were under persecution. They were under fire. It's written to challenge them to contend for the faith, to fight the daily spiritual battle of faithfulness. Jude was written to Christians who were facing persecution. Toward the end of the book, we read this command. And it says this in verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the what? Holy Ghost. We read this command to build up ourselves in the faith. How? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul would say in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the capital S, Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Bible commands us to pray. You know the Ephesians 6, the whole armor of God, right? The shield of faith, the helmet, the sword of the Spirit, your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness. There's great passages of Scripture talking about spiritual warfare. But then he sums it up by commanding us this, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. So, this ongoing conversation that I illustrated with my wife plays a significant role in our relationship, doesn't it? Right? Come on, are you with me? A conversation, a relationship with somebody. You have conversations, you have ongoing conversations, you continue to communicate. That plays a significant role in your relationship. The ongoing conversation with the Holy Spirit places a significant role it places a huge role in winning the moment-by-moment struggle between the flesh and the Spirit. Again, every thought, every emotion, every opportunity, every circumstance, every situation. The moment you leave these doors and you're going to turn left or you're going to turn right, you're going to talk to somebody if you go to Walmart, you're going to make these choices, you're going to have, somebody's going to call you, somebody's going to text you. The moment-by-moment situations that you have in your life, the ongoing conversations that you have with God, the ongoing relationship you have with God ought to play a significant role in those minute details. So I don't know that the minute details are all that important, Pastor. I don't know that they matter that much. Well, it's the details that make up a day, and it's the days that make up weeks, and it's the weeks that make up months, and those things make up a lifetime. God is interested in the details of your life. But we've got to quit. There's a lot more we could talk about. Ian Bound said this, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men of prayer. And God invites you into moment-by-moment prayer and personal intercession with Him. He invites, what an awesome thought. What an awesome thought. God invites you to have an ongoing conversation and talking with Him all day, every day. The more you practice that, the more you do that, the more victorious you will be in your life. So, be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Make a deliberate choice to yield yourself to His control. It's got to be on purpose. You're not accidentally going to yield to Him. It's got to be intentional. Walk in the Spirit. So what do you mean? That's your moment-by-moment choice to hear and obey Him. Pray in the Spirit. That's the act of faithfully going before your Heavenly Father to commune with Him about the moment-by-moment things that are going on in your life. And so in a nutshell, give God every day. Give Him control. Obey Him. Learn to speak to Him. Honor Him. Be yielded to Him and let Him use you.